Illinois Municipal League Executive Director Brad Cole joining us this morning. Brad, good to talk to you.
Good morning. Good to be with you and your listeners today, Tom.
I think today something important is going to happen. I had talked to the director of the Illinois Department of Public Health on Monday about will we go to Phase 5 and when and how, and people are leaning into this 11:30 this morning with Governor Pritzker and Azike to give a COVID-19 update. That's according to the official governor's schedule for today. We're hoping it's going to be how to go to Phase 5, the final phase.
Right, and as you know, we've been we're now a year into this, and Phase 5 was the goal for everybody to be able to have a full recovery and kind of get back to normal, whatever normal is going to be. I spoke with the governor yesterday, and I know at his press conference today he's going to talk about how there might be a transition and what that will look like, and I'm sure we'll take questions from the media and otherwise to kind of show where we're headed over the next several months. I don't think you will hear otherwise from him. He will say that we are still in a pandemic and that there's still some things that we have to take care of, whether it's the state or communities, municipalities around the state.
Well, people want to know when. That's what they want. They want to know when.
Right. And I think the governor will, I hope, make all of those announcements. I think we're on track with the president's goal of having everybody vaccinated by the 1st of May, but the governor can talk to all of that and hopefully outline the parameters and the objectives and get our economy and our communities and our society back on track.
$1.9 trillion approved for the COVID relief package or rescue package, whatever term you care to use. I guess the breakout that's important to us is a smaller figure of $13 billion in Illinois.
Right, $13.2 billion basically coming to Illinois state and local governments. That includes, communities in your listening area. Could be as much as $700,000 for Carterville and, even $50,000 for Karnak. So a lot of communities throughout the state are going to see much-needed resources. There will be less restrictions than there were under the Federal CARES Act that was approved almost exactly a year ago. It was signed into law on March 27th of 2020. But this American Rescue Plan, a lot more money, more direct assistance to municipalities and counties, and fewer restrictions so far, although we haven't seen what the U.S. Treasury Department is going to put out as far as the guidelines.
All right. So how do you feel about the term bailout being used and applying to this $13.2 billion?
Well, I think if you ask the communities that are going to be seeing this money, and, Marion is going to get a little bit over $2 million, and, Carbondale is, I think, going to get about $3 million, if you ask them, is it a bailout? These are dollars that will be used to support homeowners or businesses, industries. You had the Crab Orchard Wildlife Refuge on earlier today, and these dollars can support tourism and hospitality, those million people a year that are traveling to visit the refuge, and then also to pay for essential workers and some of the work that needs to be done or has been done in communities, and then make investments, water, sewer, broadband investments. Those are the direct financial impacts that will help communities and the state. There is a lot otherwise in the plan to get to that $1.9 trillion, and I think that's where you get some concern or questions or comments about the use of the dollars, but I'm not here to speak about that part today. I can only talk to what the communities in Illinois are going to be able to do and hopefully will get accomplished here in the next couple of years. These dollars, by the way, can be used through the end of 2024, so it's not just a short term, it's kind of a midterm goal too.
So when I was talking to Senator Durbin last week, I'm hoping you were hearing the interview, I believe you did. And it was kind of nice to know me being a relentless butthole about bothering him. I mean, because I was, every time I was on the phone with him, without exception, I asked about the money. And then he says, well, it was you pointed out that there was a problem in Brad Cole. And I'm wondering, had we not been relentlessly a pain in the arse, whether we would have seen this money distributed the way that it was.
Well, I know the answer to that, Tom. The answer is no. I mean, frankly, he is correct. you know, we talked about it, you and I talked about it, and every opportunity you had, because you have such a large microphone, literally, there, and access to folks, you raised this issue repeatedly, and I raised the issue, and Senator Durbin, to his credit, jumped on it, talked to the governor, and followed up with his staff and other people, but he was personally engaged, and he did a terrific job of making sure that that CARES Act money was distributed, you know, the best that they could. And I think, in part, the way this new American Rescue Plan is being implemented is because he had that awareness. And so we're not going to see those problems with this plan, we hope, because of the engagement that he had to make sure that this law was written differently and communities could get the dollars directly. And so a lot of credit goes to you and to Senator Durbin for that. I would also say I've been talking, we have a great relationship also, the Illinois Municipal League does, with Senator Duckworth, and I've got a call scheduled with her tomorrow. She's very engaged in this and wants to make sure, working in partnership with Senator Durbin, that communities and people get the resources and the help that they need. So we've had a lot of good support at the federal level, and that's worth recognizing.
Yeah, it may be my career goal right there. I may have achieved it already. I can ride off into the sunset if I brought that much money to Southern Illinois just by being just relentless with somebody. And that makes me uncomfortable. So, you know me, I'm not that guy. But, you know, when I look at that figure and I look what the goal was, I just thought, I'm just going to stay on this because this is horse hockey. You know, I mean, you just get so, you know, at some point you've got to do something no matter who you are, I think. So,
well, the guy you are, Tom, is a guy who knows what's right and what's wrong. And you and I knew the way this was coming out was wrong. And you leveraged the people that come to talk to your listeners on your show to make sure that it was made right.
Well,
and that is a success for you and the listeners.
Good. Well, I hope that's the case. Now, here's the other, and you just brushed against this. Did we learn our lesson? And our learn our lesson, that's pretty collective when it gets right down. Did the people in Washington learn their lesson? Because we saw that there was the possibility of the state interrupting the money. Then the process in which it was disseminated was questionable in nature. The time in which it took, matter of fact, that had to be extended, some money still yet being delivered, those were all issues. And what was interesting, when I was talking to Dr. Paul Jacobs on Tuesday, he said the stipulation for us receiving the $13.2 billion was that taxes could not be cut.
Right. This is not an offset, so the federal government isn't, as I understand it, issuing these funds so that states and localities can cut their own revenue or taxes and use this as an offset. It's meant to do the things that it's supposed to do. You indicated the timeline was the real issue that we had last year with the Federal CARES Act. A big piece of that was because the state put additional restrictions in, but then the federal government came back and extended that another year. So now we still have, most of the communities used those dollars that they got last year, but there's an extension through the end of this calendar year, 2021, for that. In this American Rescue Plan, as I just indicated, these funds can be used through the end of 2024. So I think that was a lesson learned. Hey, we need more time to be able to implement some of this, and we want to be able to walk into this ocean, not dive into it. So I think there were some lessons learned. And hopefully the state and, you know, local governments take that into account and are able to show successes, and they don't have any problems later on when we look back and see how the dollars were spent and how the programs were implemented.
All right. Now, it's interesting, in what I'm, after I listened to Brad talk for just a couple of minutes, I remember a conversation I had with Carterville Mayor Brad Robinson, and we're talking about there's a fee to join the IML, right? And he said to me, you know, it's $3,000 or whatever it is. He says, I'd pay it out of my own pocket if I had to, right? And what I find interesting is when I look over the material you disseminate to the municipalities in which you serve, I can see why he said that, because you were giving guidance on how to get into and how this process, and then really kind of keeping people constantly aware of where it's at, and you're very clear, you need to read this part. This is important here. What is the guidance right now you're giving communities on this $13 billion? Well, we're only getting, what is it, $7.2 billion or $5.6 billion, something like that.
Right.
for local municipalities. What guidance are you giving them?
Well, we're giving them timely, accurate, and complete information. And Mayor Robinson is right. You know, for a community like Carterville, their annual dues to the Illinois Municipal League is about $700. That's a couple of hours of an attorney's work to fix a problem. And we're trying to give them information before the problem exists. So we save communities money every day, and it's at a reasonable rate. It is a voluntary organization, but almost every municipality in Illinois is a member of the Municipal League. To answer your question, right now there is so much information that is out there. A lot of it doesn't pertain to communities. They don't know what's necessary for them to do, and our job is to put all that together, weed out the stuff that is not important, and say, this is what you need to pay attention to. Here is the allocation list. Here are the four categories that you can spend these dollars on. Here are the steps that you need to take. And if you have questions, you can contact us. We'll put out a message today after Governor Pritzker's press conference and after they release the materials that we just talked about. We'll put out a message today to about 12,000 local elected and appointed officials, giving them all of that information right there at their fingertips. And that's what we're here for. I feel like our staff does a great job. We represent our communities and our members very well in that effort, and that kind of feedback is very positive for us, and it shows us that we're getting the job done. But that's what we do every day, and that's, I think, a benefit to communities, large and small.
Yeah, well, it's like you said, if you know what's right and wrong, and you've got to fight for your people, and you know whose team you're on.
Let me just interrupt, Tom. So, you know, going back to that, throughout the last year, you know how much information was out there.
Yes.
And you couldn't decipher half of it, and the other half you didn't know if it was accurate or not. I mean, it was just so much. It was overwhelming. And that's just like what you do every day. You break it down and say, this is what's important to your listeners. And that's what the Illinois Municipal League does for our members, the cities, villages, and towns of Illinois, and said, this is what's important. This is what you need to know right now. We heard from so many people that said, if you hadn't told us this, we would never have known.
And I think some people counted on that.
Yeah, and that's great. And that's, that is a testament to them, because they want to get the job done for their communities, and they're using us as a resource, and we're providing that information to them. So it makes us feel good, and that's what we're here for.
It's odd how correct Brad is. I do two preparation sessions, one in the afternoon at 4:30 until about 6, a little after, and then again in the morning starting at 5. And where once upon a time I used to decide what I'm going to say, I now start doing what I'm not going to say, throwing it out because there's so much, literally stacks of paper. You know, I want to talk to you about something else when it comes to a resource for a district, because you had reached out and said to the state of Illinois and said, look, cities, villages, town, we need help distributing the vaccine. We're not being allowed the opportunity. You went on to say in one published report that been asking for months to have the Illinois Department of Public Health allow cities to help with distribution to no avail. He said, you went on to say city leaders are more often the first people called by residents having problems getting the vaccine. Understand that. So has that changed? This was published, I think, February 18th.
Yeah, we sent a letter to Dr. Ezekiel and the governor and others saying, and we've said this repeatedly and continuously over the last year, but more so as the vaccine has become more prevalent. But about a month ago, we said, look, communities need to be on the front end of this. We need to be able to work with you. The mayors are getting the calls. They come into City Hall. People want to know what to do. We have a good relationship with the Department of Public Health, but they have guarded that very closely. And so they have set up some community outreach vaccination sites, but the state of Illinois has guarded that very closely with the county health departments and the handful of municipal health departments that are around the state. And that's been their choice. We continue to offer to be a positive partner with them on this. But, this was raised in a discussion yesterday we had at the highest levels. But they have been doing their own thing. We're still here ready to help them if necessary or if they're willing. But so far it's been pretty much dominated by the state and the county health departments.
All right, we talk about this American Rescue Plan, but the fact is, and let's talk about IML as a resource once again, a return to that theme, because With the change in administration, there's been a lot of things being flying out of D.C. Well, and it looks like from this legislative session, when we look at the committee meetings and the items they're covering, we're going to see some state stuff worthy of recognition, too. And it's about the police. It's about elections. It's about money. It's about COVID. It's about you go on and on and on. I mean, if I look at what you need to do to be able to take all the things from a changing administration and deliver that and redigest it so it's consumable because it's mind-bending legislation when you try to read it, you got your hands full.
Oh, absolutely. And it's easy to forget that there is a new legislative session that began about 2 months ago. And so far, you know, there have been more than 5,000 bills and resolutions filed in the General Assembly. We have reviewed all those. I have reviewed the summaries of each one of those, and we'll take positions on them to decide whether they're good or bad or even, you know, ugly in some cases for municipalities, and how do we work with the legislators to try to improve those things. We have a number of legislative issues that we are pushing ourselves to be helpful, basically to relax some of the restrictions that are on communities and local governments. But, we have all of that going on. And interestingly, the chambers are operating mostly through Zoom right now, virtually conducting committee meetings and hearings, which allows for some different engagement by folks like me. But it's a new time, and it's an interesting way to try to govern. We're glad that they are meeting and they're having these hearings, but we're hopeful that we can get back to some in-person discussions and negotiations and be able to support the communities throughout the state, because the General Assembly is going to take action on a lot of stuff, the state budget, a lot of regulatory issues, criminal justice reform, and that impacts communities, which means it impacts people, the taxpayers and residents of Illinois.
All right, we've got just a few seconds, so answer these next few questions we can from our listeners in the briefest possible way. Here's number one. They're both from Joe. Two Joes, by the way. I thought this money was supposed to pay down Illinois debt.
No.
Okay. And here's another one for Joe. Isn't it convenient to be able to use this money just in time for the next vote-buying session? I mean the 2020 vote. It's an interesting observation on the part of Joe B.
I'd say that's a statement. I don't want to answer that. I don't know how to answer that, but it's an observation.
I thought it was an interesting observation because it never occurred to me as well.
I don't disagree, and I would just say,
How about this? Everything's political.
That's where I was going to head on this. I think, you know, everybody can read into this however they want to. Certainly, at the federal level, politics is involved with everything, and as well at the state level.
Illinois Municipal League Executive Director Brad Cole. Brad, as always, man, I appreciate your time. And thanks for all the kind words earlier. I really do appreciate that more than you'll ever know.
Keep up the good work, Tom.